finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
Good morning. What's everyone? How's it going, Sales Funnel Radio people? Hey, Steve Larson. I am driving into my office today. I'm filming a few sales videos and building a webinar for the company we just bought. And I know I keep referring to it as that because, first of all, that's true. But second of all, I'll tell you all, I know that a lot of you are going to go to the domain as soon as I tell you what it is, which is awesome. Just wait till I tell you because it's not done. I'm redoing everything. So I got to go do that today, and I'm psyched for that. So I have a story that popped in my head this morning that I kind of forgot about, and I wanted to share with you because I think it's very valuable. And this came about at one of my most, it was like one of the last or most recent events. And I remember there's a gentleman sitting over, you know, I was standing on stage, so he was to my right, front row. And I always like to open up for some Q&A after like I teach something to make sure like, hey, did that make sense? What does not make sense? Like, just because, you know, you open up the hood of a car, it's very complicated when you look at it, but still the principles are simple. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get things down to a simple principle level on everything. And so I was like, hey, what doesn't make sense? You know, and so I was doing a Q&A section, and I was talking to everybody in there, and this gentleman in the front right, he said, Steve, how did he phrase it? He said something like, it was the way he worded it that really threw me. He said something like, hey, I want to go make these moves, but I want to make sure that they're the right moves. Now, how many of us as entrepreneurs ever thought that before? I want to make these moves, but I want to make sure that they're the right moves. First of all, super common train of thought, right? Especially for entrepreneurs. I want to make some moves. I just want to make sure that they're the right moves. It was the way he said it, though, that made me realize, like, and also on the backdrop of all the other questions I'd ever received from this gentleman, that I realized that this person was not taking action fast enough and was instead hyper obsessing over every single move as if it, like, life depended on it itself. And I put it together while I was standing up there, and I was like, oh, he's not actually asking about his question. I don't think that's the real issue here. You know, so when I sat back, I was like, hey, look, I want you to first understand how I make decisions in a day. First, what I do is I take a day and I think through what I want to have done in, you know, a year or 3 years, with a complete understanding that could be dead wrong. But if I don't put some kind of anchor to anchor all of my decision making to, then every decision looks right. You know what I mean? I got to have some kind of anchor or goal. So very loosely, I'll have like a 10-year, here's where I want to be in 10 years. Again, total understanding I'm dead wrong. And then I'll make like a 3-year one, and then a 1-year. And then I'm like, all right, what do I need to do in 3 months? So I set quarterly goals. What do I need to do in the next, you know, 3 months to take significant strides towards that year? And so far, there's no new ground I'm breaking by saying this on a podcast, right? You're like, yeah, duh, right? Like, that's like standard planning. And then I'm like, all right, what do I got to do this month, this week, today, you know? So I told him that. And then I also said, the other part, though, you have to understand is that nobody is giving me a to-do list. Like, to be an entrepreneur is, yeah, you're going to entrepreneur something. You're going to create something from resources that exist. That's what the word entrepreneur means. It's to create something with resources that are there, and you're making something. So you're going to create something. It's a very creative role, entrepreneurship, right? I mean, marketers too. I said to this man, though, I said, you have to understand, though, that nobody's making my to-do list. What I do is I walk in each day and I look at where I'm trying to go, and I ask myself, what do I think I should do today that makes more money and helps more people? And whatever comes off, like, comes out of my head, I'll scrutinize it a little bit, then I'll do it. I usually don't wait till the day of, by the way. I'll, you know, slightly more planned than that. But for the first probably couple of years, I mean, that is definitely how I did it before I had more like project management skills and stuff like that, and systems built. But that is how I do it, though. That's how I did it for a long time. It's like, look, whatever pops in my head, I just take a gander at brainstorming what I should get done in that day, and then I just execute. And I said, I need you to understand, like, I'm going to reiterate, no one's telling me what to do. I'm just coming up with that. And he goes, but how do you know if you're making the right move? And I said, yeah, you know what? You don't. But you get better at not making the wrong moves, right? That's really what it is. You get better at not making the bad moves as you go, because you're going to make them. And to try to avoid them, especially as a new entrepreneur or a marketer, is a little bit ridiculous. Like, you're going to make mistakes. Just So don't try to delay the inevitable. You're not trying to make mistakes, right? They'll just happen. They'll just happen. And you'll earn your stripes, you know, get a few scars along the way and whatever. I certainly have. My gosh. Absolutely. Of course I have. Definitely made tons of mistakes. Holy smokes. That's why I'm so adamant on my path, because I know all the other ways to do it that don't work. Right? This is, which I think is a really powerful way to form a framework. So at this event, I was explaining this to this gentleman, and he was like really concerned that he was going to still make a wrong move again. And I helped him see that you're really running into the second journey that we all go into, right? The first journey that you agreed to openly, that you tell your friends and family about, that you're excited about, is, well, I'm going to go be an entrepreneur, right? I'm going to be a funnel builder. I'm going to be a marketer. And you start going towards the skill set of the thing. But the parallel journey that you're running all the time is this internal one where you're learning to have confidence while becoming a funnel builder. You're learning how to deal with rejection the first time you go do a pitch and nobody buys. You're learning how to, you know, address the negative self-talk that pops up before you go do your first pitch. Or, does that make sense? It's all the internal crap, and it is just as real and, frankly, slightly more, in my opinion, powerful than the external journey, right? This is the hero's two journeys. And I call the second one the parallel journey. You're running at the exact same time, the exact same distance, and one affects the other to the T, right? Absolutely through and through. And I also explained to this gentleman, like, you need to make sure that you're not grading entrepreneurship with the same scale that you were taught when you were in school. It's not about perfection. It's not, you're not getting an A in entrepreneurship. You're not getting an A in marketing or funnel building. And you don't need to get an A, even if you were to use the same scale, to make money. You can get an F, meaning they're not on the same scale at all, really. They're not on the same scale at all. To entrepreneur is to find a valuable problem and solve it. That's it. To be a marketer is to collect leads and interest around that thing. To sell is to close some. To be a business owner is to fulfill and make systems around all of it. Bam. That's it. It's crazy simple. It's awesome. But what I wish I had told this gentleman, and what popped into my head this morning, is there's a story that I heard recently, and I really wish that I could have told this to this gentleman. The story goes like this. There was an art class. This art class was going on, and this art teacher stands at the front of the room and says, hey, here's how you're going to get graded throughout this class. On the left half of the room, you're going to get graded based on the quality of the art you produce. On the right side of the room, you're going to get graded based on the quantity of art that you produce. And so the class got busy. And what happened over the course of the class is exactly as you'd expect. The quality-based room was hyper-focused on making the most perfect, amazing, incredible art that they possibly could. On the other side of the room, the entire room was focused on creating just as many works of art as possible. Volume was the goal. And at the end of the class, it was easily notable and seen that the quantity side of the room, those who had just put more reps in, had vastly surpassed in skill set. They'd learned, they'd self-taught like crazy. They'd gone through so many reps that the quality, even though the other side of the room was being graded on quality, the quality of the art from the quantity side was significantly higher than the people who were just trying to make quality graded art. What a fascinating, incredible lesson. What an amazing, amazing lesson, right? And you think about it, you relate that to what it is that we're doing in business. Like, I love my framework. My framework is amazing. It's powerful. But just like anything, so I still follow the steps in it, but you could get way too deep in each of the steps and forego the whole point, which is to get reps in. Get some reps in, right? Get a lot and a lot and a lot of reps in, man. You guys all know I did. I went through and I counted 34 failures. 34 failures. I know how to not make a good offer. Very well. I know how to not make a good offer more than most people attempt. Right? I've failed more times than most people have ever tried. And that's half the reason why I know that it does work and what does actually happen. Because after that 34, I went through an additional 55 successes. Can you imagine all the stuff I learned along the way on how to create a sexy offer, what to do in the funnel, how to do an amazing launch, how to automate, also how to turn like a project management tool around it so you're not 24/7 running around with your chicken, you know, like a chicken with the head cut off, trying to manage all of it, which I've seen that as well. I've gone through a ton of reps, and that was just my funnels. I get a little bit frustrated whenever someone who's brand new comes to the plate and they're like, you know, and they'll swing the bat and their concern is like, what if it fails? And I'm like, you got to get over it. Don't try to make it fail, but understand that it's probably gonna, right? just get through the rep, right? And it's all for naught. It's all worthless if you don't take a moment after each one and be like, what went well? What didn't go well? What could I learn from? What will I not repeat next time? That's such a powerful concept that even when I was in the Army and like completing a mission, it's called an AAR, after action review. All right, what happened? All right, bravo team, you went that way. That was cool, but make sure you shift fire a little bit better because did you hear the C's? Blah, 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 blah. Alpha, when you go over and you go there, you gotta be more sneaky, like keep your head a little bit lower. I need you to be back down on the prone when you're like doing your crawl through, blah, 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 blah. Make sure you're reviewing your attempts. But first off, make sure you complete a full attempt. Don't do some half rep, you know what I mean? It's like when you're in the gym and you see someone do a squat and they only go like 45 degrees down. It's not a squat. That's not a rep. Do a full rep. Whole thing. That's the point of this episode, to put those reps in and to make sure that you're realizing, stop grading yourself based on school or based on how fast somebody else did it or based on how much money came in on it. What you're grading, it's you against you and it is you against yesterday. That's it. The moment you compare yourself as an entrepreneur, you're dead. Because you're right. Someone else did do it faster than you. Someone else will go in and they'll make more money than you. If you're in the teaching space, eventually you'll have students that make more money than you did faster. Why? Because you...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Pave the path, baby. We are all different puzzle pieces. All of us. I remember once, you guys know I have such deep respect and love for Russell Brunson and just being there. I remember when he was like, man, you did in 3 years, but it took me 10. And I was like, okay, but you paved the path. I followed your frameworks, man. I followed your Facebook exists now. You know what I mean? ClickFunnels existed. None of that stuff existed when he started. They were all doing forums. They were all doing... Does that make sense? Like, no one really knew the concept of a funnel. Upsells was this revolutionary thing. A bump was revolutionary, but you had to get a coder, had to go do the old school. You see what I'm saying? Like, look, how many floors of people would you have to employ to do what all these tools automate and get done for you now? How many floors of people would you have to employ? That's why it's laughable. And so I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it online. I'm like, then you probably won't ever. You won't ever. There was a gentleman that he got a little frustrated with me because he was like, he's a brand new entrepreneur and I don't normally take one-on-one clients that are brand spanking new, never made an offer before, never made a sale, never done a pitch, never tried, never got rejection before, you know, never had someone laugh at him or try to slander their name online. You know what I mean? And I told this guy, I was like, I told him multiple times, like, you got to understand, I just need you to start emotionally preparing that what we are making, although following my formulas, you probably will get a couple sales, but it's probably not going to shoot the moon. You're not just like you might be fantasizing about. All of this takes reps, all of it. And half the reason it may not work is because something might have been a little bit off with the messaging. Something might have been a little bit off with the offer. The other half will be because of you, your own mentality. You will actually stop the sale. You'll be afraid of money. You'll have false beliefs that pop up. You'll be afraid that doing a sale is the same thing as stealing, right? I hate that one. Right? But I remember going through that myself. I put the reps in. I studied, I learned from others. Put the reps in. And I remember about 3 or 4 months goes by. This happened this last year. 3 or 4 months goes by and, you know, I saw him in person and he was like, okay, I'm like starting to get nervous. Like, when is this going to make money? I was like, well, we're 3 months in. First off, you had no domain, no funnel, no place to send people. You didn't have things like terms and conditions. I had to build that crap for you. You know what I mean? Like from literal zero. And he goes, yeah, but I'm just nervous. Like, what if it doesn't work? And I said, I got to reiterate, it may not. And guess what? It didn't. And we got a lot of data. We figured out how the market wants to be sold. And we figured out how the market does not want to be sold. And it was a very, I don't know, I didn't want to be like, told you so, but there was a part of me that wanted to be like, come on, stop thinking that this is the one. Just get in it for the game's sake. Like, what is that thing? People who enjoy the journey more than the destination end up going further. Makes sense. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that's my point, guys, is put the reps in. Quantity over quality for a while. And even when you start to get more versed, don't get to this convoluted state. I've totally fallen on this before, where you overthink the steps before you're willing to take them. Does that make sense? You're going too far with it beyond the point of just getting another rep in. I'm not saying make shoddy work, but there is making extremely high quality work, and then there's making quality work to the obsession level that's so high that you'll never put the rep in because you start to have this, it's called convoluted thought. You overthink so much and you're like, well, okay, I'm going to do this. But what about this and this? And you start making up stories and things that are going to happen after you make that move. If I do this, then this is definitely going to happen. You don't know that. What if I do this? This is absolute. You don't know that. Does that make sense? And you start to get married to the possible stories rather than the reality that you should just make something awesome, make it incredible, make a good funnel, and then just get it out the door. Don't go make another funnel till you get the current one out the door, the loudest you know how, right? Then do an AAR. Sit back and say, hey, what did I learn? What did I not? Do this and then add time, add reps. And then you're gonna lift your head in 1 year and be like, dang, my life's different than I thought it would be. I thought it happened fast, but not this fast. Was this crazy? Does that make sense? So I'm at a spot now where I like to do like one, maybe two monthly pushes. That's it. One or two pushes a month. That's it. But at the beginning, it was like, I just wanted to get the reps in. It wasn't per month, per week, whatever. It was, I would do one complete rep. The first time I ever launched anything, the most I knew how to do was I made a Facebook page. That's it. And then I invited people to the page. No connection between the page and the domain I had built. This is when I was in college, pre-ClickFunnels. This is one of my 34 failures. It was like one of the first internet tries I really did, you know, pre-ClickFunnels, all that stuff. The most I ever did on my first launch was I made a Facebook page and I invited people to it. And I think over the next like 2 years, I think two people bought it. One of them was my mom. I mean, just because nobody knew about it. That's as much as I knew how to launch. And then I just went and did it again. It's part of the reason why I think it's really really powerful. And what I really wish some previous people who worked for me just did not grasp. They'd work for me for like 6 months and they'd be like, I'm out. And I'm like, no, I have so much more to teach you. Learn under someone else's belt. Do your crap, right? Your own stuff. Try to do it in the off hours. I mean, that's what I would do. And create that safety parachute prior to making the jump. And I've had several people come work for me. Several people have done it right. I know them by name. They're amazing. That's actually the minority. The majority of people who have come and worked for me, and I'm like, look, just give me 1 to 2 years of focus. I don't care if you build your crap on the side, but very few can handle that without taking the bait and going full on the thing, because they see something I do. They're like, that was awesome. I have to do it right now. And they go try it. And then they drop the ball on the projects I gave them. And then I have to fire them, or they just don't ever do it. Does that make sense? or they'll just leave and disappear. There's one dude, gosh, I love this guy. I was so sad when I found this out. For like a whole quarter, he's leaving in the middle of the day without telling me and building this thing that because he took one of my frameworks and went and made this thing out of it and then left a week before a huge event. I was like, what? Put the reps in. You know what I mean? Learn under someone else's wing. It will collapse time. And just time and reps, baby. That's really what it comes down to. Time and reps. self-love on the way as you walk that parallel journey, because there's a lot of that sucks, but it's unavoidable. All right, guys, I hope that was a helpful episode for you guys. There's a part of that I did tell to this gentleman at this event, and there's another part I wish I had told as I kept mulling on his question and really realizing after the event, like, oh, that's what this dude's really like running into. Totally understandable. Every one of us has run into it, but like, perfection's not the point. That's a different grading scale, right? Excellence is the point, and that's not the same thing as perfect. All right, guys, I'm going to keep ranting unless I stop, so you know me. Hey, guys, would love to have you at my next event. It will be called Offer Launch. If you go there now, I think it's just a waiting page, so I'll tell you guys when to go there, unless you want to get on the notification list, which I'll email you guys first, as I like to kind of announce that it's out there. But I'll do it as probably a hybrid event. I like having a live audience. I love having a virtual audience. I used to do one, like, in person. Problem is, I know a lot of you guys are literally around the world. I mean, Sales Funnel Radio has had organically over 1 million downloads. There's a lot of you. Thank you so much to all of you, incredible, amazing followers. Thank you so much for owning your journey on the way, and hopefully mine's been helpful. But anyway, the offer, so I'll do Offer Launch, and doing it in person meant that all those of you who are around the world couldn't come. And then when I would do virtual, it's awesome, but it is definitely harder as a speaker. I do feed off of the energy in the audience. I love your interaction. It does feed. When a speaker has an engaged audience, it changes how you speak. It is so hard to speak at audiences where you're not getting fed back. I have done that many times. Well, I started doing speaker training after a while, because I was like, I got to learn how to get this audience to do the talk with me. You know, definitely helps. So I like to do these hybrid ones. My studio holds comfortably 90 people. It's not that many. The most I've ever had at a virtual event is almost 900. I would like to have a lot of people at this event again. I want to teach you guys a lot of the updated stuff that I've gone through, and the nuances that have helped a lot now, and a lot of tricks and not so much shortcuts, but ways to speed up your things on the path. I'm really excited to go and do this next event again. I love events. I built a freaking studio over there. I just haven't done one in a year and a half. I've had so many messages from people saying, when is your next live event? And I am saying the same thing back to you. My soul has been screaming the same thing. Steve, when's your next event? It's coming. It's coming. So I'll let you guys know if you guys go to offerlaunch.com. But honestly, if you go to stevejlarson.com, that place right there is really the hub for everything. I've really simplified a lot of my internet assets and domains. I still have a lot, but it's not nearly to the amount I used to. Stevejlarson.com. You can go there and get information on if you want to interview me. I'm starting to do that again. It's been so fun to get on your guys' stuff. Just beware, there's 150 people already on that list, but I will go as fast as I can through it. Yeah, so if you interview me, if you want me to speak, if you want to get an hour of my time or a day of my time, or just review a project you've got going on, that option is there as well. Any offer I've got going on there as well. It's really like the hub. It's the spot where I'm trying to keep everything in there. Anyway, you guys are fantastic. Thanks so much for following, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
What's the difference between a 5, 6, and 7-figure product launch? Time. It's how long the campaign was. I've personally done 4, 5, 6, and even 7-figure product launches on my own now, and I want to help you learn our model. If you don't have a list, if you don't have an ad budget or even a snazzy funnel, you don't need one. Go to internetlaunchsecrets.com right now for free, and you'll learn how rich dead marketers launched their products without the internet, and how to use the same code today for your own 4 to 7-figure product launches online. If you have a product or even just the idea and you're starting to feel stuck, Internet Launch Secrets is for you. It'll guide you through the messy role of entrepreneurship and pave the revenue path as a marketer. This framework is literally responsible for every dollar I've made, and I'm excited to get into your hands after testing and tweaking it for the last 4 years. Check it out for free at internetlaunchsecrets.com. We've used it to launch products like information, software, e-com, agencies, professional services, books, MLM, affiliates, coaching, consulting, masterminds, B2B. We've done it for weird ones too, like massages, yoga, family history, relationships, and even blood work. Internet Launch Secrets is how I ethically get crowds of people waiting for my product before it's even ready. Check it out for free at internetlaunchsecrets.com and fix the traffic problem once and for all. Not knowing this is why my first 34 products failed and why the following 46 worked and has resulted in 10 million in sales. Click to internetlaunchsecrets.com and check out my 3 most profitable campaigns for free. Again, that's internetlaunchsecrets.com.